certainly. Thank God. Thank God for our youth. Thank you so much to our youth leaders, Paul and Joy Hansen, for that. Yes, come on. At this time, we're going to have the youth dismissed. We have something prepared for them in the back. You guys go back there and enjoy. We're going to have all of our youth, fifth grade and below. If you could, just go ahead and go to the back. They have something prepared for you back there. See some new faces. Let me say again, good morning to everyone. It's so good to have all of you here. Good to have all of you who have joined us for in-person service. Good to have all of you who are joining us as we stream online. Just in case, I saw a new face in here. I'm Pastor KP, and I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I won't be long before you today because I knew we had the youth coming up today, but this message, this message I'm going to proclaim, or this message you guys are about to hear, I believe, and you've heard it throughout the songs if you were paying attention to the song, but I believe that this message is the most important thing that's taking place in the world. It's the reason for what we call our Christmas holiday, the birth of our Savior. And I don't believe that there's anything more important in all the world than the message of Jesus Christ. Now, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years, many believe about 700, but hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever was born, he prophesied that there would be one who come into this world born of a virgin, and his name would be called Emmanuel. Yeah. Emmanuel means God with us. And the unique thing that Scripture tells us that we looked at here 2 weeks ago, if you were not with us, is that all of the fullness of deity dwelt in Jesus Christ in bodily form. And we're going to look again together today at the beginning of that event, the day that the Savior of the world was born. And you heard our youth, they sang about baby Jesus. So that's what we're going to look at today. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. We'll have it up on the screen for you. But we want to look at that amazing night when all of it began. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 14. And I'm going to ask for those who are able, again, if you could rest on your feet for me as I read these verses. Very familiar story. I was sharing with someone this morning as we prepare to read this. Don't always assume everybody know the story. I know it's been, and I hear you, Singleton, and you're one of the main reasons I said that. My daughter, Steve Singleton, talked to kids on Wednesday night, and my daughter was so excited, and she came home saying it was some things she never knew. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're making me look bad. I'm like, it's not like we haven't talked about this. She was like, yeah, but I know it's some things that he said that I didn't know, though. Don't ever assume that everybody already knows the story. So with that in mind, we're going to see this story that supposedly is so familiar that everybody knows it. But we're going to revisit it again today. Beginning at verse 4 here in Luke chapter 2, the Bible reads this way from the NIV version, the New International Version. It says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes or cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, finally, our verse for today, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. And I've taken the liberty to entitle today's message, It Was a Holy Night. It was a holy night. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to come together as one body, God, to stand in your presence, God, and even the honor and the privilege to speak from your word. I pray now, God, that you would minister to our hearts this story of where it all began when God came down. So, God, I pray that you'll bless our time right now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was a holy night. It was a holy night. When you have the chance, I want you to go back. Again, don't assume you know the story so well, but go back and take a look at the first chapter of this gospel. There you will find again that Luke records the angel Gabriel's foretelling of the birth of Jesus. He goes to this virgin whose name was Mary, who was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, who is described in chapter 1 as a descendant of David. And that's key because we learn in Matthew's gospel that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said, Joseph, son of David, what is conceived or what is happening in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yahshua or Yeshua. That's in the Greek, in the Hebrew, in the Greek is Isus. And it's what we translate, you will give him the name Jesus. And I want to put a pin right there for just a moment and say something about his name, because many argue that the fact that the Hebrew alphabet does not contain the letter J, that would be incorrect. And they are correct that the Hebrew alphabet does not contain the letter J. So why do we call him Jesus? I believe there's a very simple explanation for it. Again, his name is, in the Hebrew, is Yeshua or Yeshua. But when we translate that over, we take our name from the Greek name Isus, and it's spelled I-E-S-U-S. And all we did was change the I to a J, and we pronounce it Jesus. And when you look at the scriptures, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Jesus, it's the same name. And so what we did was to differentiate between the two. We don't say Joshua so you don't get it mixed up. We say Jesus. So, and let me digress for just a moment. Many of you out there don't even know my real name. I'm just KP to you or Pastor KP. The family member that named me, my mother allowed her to name me. She named me. My name is spelled K-I-A-T-H-A. The person who named me pronounces that Kiatha. All through school, I went as Kiatha. That's how the teacher said it. But I get called all kinds of things. And this week alone, I had someone from the car shop call me, and I bet she added 4 or 5 more vowels I don't even have in my name. But the point is, I knew who she was talking about. And I believe when you say Jesus, whether there's not a J in the alphabet, our God know who you're talking about. And I answer to whatever you call me. Long as it's not a bad word. but I believe God knows who we're referring to when we say Jesus. The important thing is that you know it was he who is the Son of God who became man, the Savior of the world. Let me refer to Isaiah the prophet again here. He says, "Hear now, you house of David. The Lord himself will give us a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel," again, which means God with us. And when you get to chapter 2 where we are today, and you go back now because we're starting at verse 4. If you go back and you take a look at the first 3 verses of the chapter, you'll learn that the Caesar Augustus of the time, who he issues a decree that a census must be taken of his entire Roman Empire or Roman world, if you will. And it is because of this census we find that Joseph and his fiancée Mary has to go to the place of Joseph's birth. So let me read verses 4-7 right now to share some insight here, because I want you to know why I entitled this, It Was a Holy Night. So I'm going to read verses 4-7, and then I'm going to share some insight. It says again, so Joseph, because of the census now, Because Caesar Augustus says, I want to know how many is born in each town, what the census is. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because that's where he belonged. He belonged to the house in the line of David. Go to the next verses for me here. Verse 7. I got it here if you don't. Verse 7? Yeah. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them at the inn. Now I want you to stop it. I want you to think about that. That a baby born in Bethlehem. This was a little insignificant town, and yet now it looms large, meaning we all know of Bethlehem today because of the importance of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now that was not his beginning, because the Bible tells me that he dwelt in eternity past. And now, according to this story, according to the text, he's been born into the human race, not ceasing to be God, because that would be impossible, but adding to his deity now humanity, so that now he is the God-man. If there was nothing else relating to the birth of Jesus Christ, but this fact alone, that would be worth celebrating. It would be a what we call a focal point in history. But that's just the beginning. God became a man. God was born at Bethlehem. And here we are 2,000 years later in Covington, Georgia, and other places around the world. We are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It was a holy night. Now, why is that important to me? Is that just some outstanding historical fact, right? Or is he just a wondrous person? Or is there something more significant about this baby that was born in this manger in the town of Bethlehem? Why? We have to be reminded, why did he become a man? It was a holy night. A night set apart by God like no other night. And what happened 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, this had never happened before, and it'll never happen again. The eternal Son of God, he left the glory of heaven, and he was born into the human race. I asked last week that we all never lose the wonder of that. Never lose your amazement of what God has done. The one who dwelt with God the Father in eternity. The scriptures tell us that he was with God from the very beginning, and that all things were created by him and all things were created through him, and that there is nothing that exists apart from him. And yet, in that little town of Bethlehem, about 5 miles now or so from Jerusalem, not very recognized at its time, it basically insignificant place by worldly standards, and yet that's where God's son was born into the human race. And even 5 miles away in Jerusalem, which was the major city, they didn't know what had happened. It took angels to come to these shepherds out in this field that was nearby to announce this great birth or this great event that took place. It was a holy night. Now we're going to see here in these next few verses here that the angel of the Lord is going to be speaking to these shepherds living in a nearby field. And he's going to tell them about this good news. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And there it is, at night. It was a holy night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. Keep going. I want to read all the way to 14 here. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. We'll stop right there. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We can stop right there for me. Now, go back to verse 10. Look at verse 10 again for me. Verse 10 says this, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now remember, the angel said that Joseph was to name this child Jesus, which means, that means Jehovah Savior or God Savior. For he is the one who will save his people from their sin. Why would this be great news or great joy? As the text says, we learn now from this the reason that God became a man. One who is a very unique person, one who is fully God and fully man. Now, these angels are saying, now he is here present on earth so that he can be the Savior. He says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And so we learn, and you see this readily all around us in the world, we're reminded of the condition that we're in. And if, when you understand the condition of mankind, you'll see why this news would cause great joy. This is good news. You know, there are a lot of things that get the news today, right? There's still a lot of talk about the virus, and rightfully so, about taking the proper precautions and that encouraging vaccinations to help us get through it. I know Elaine was watching the news this morning. She said, man, they saying that thing is spreading real quick out there. And then you got there's other talk about political concerns and changes going on there and all the other breaking stories, right? Breaking news stories. And on top of that, you got to deal with all that. On top of that, because of the Christmas holiday, our TVs and our radios and our timelines, they're being bombarded, right? They're being flooded with the latest sale to get those wish list items. But I need you to understand, but all of that pales in comparison. All of that is insignificant to when we talk about the man whose birth we are celebrating. And sadly, just like it was in the days of Jesus when he was born, most of the world just going about their business. Almost no one on earth even knew what took place. And today you got many people that are celebrating Christmas, but they don't really understand. I mean, sure, I see it, I hear it all the time. Jesus is the reason for the season. But they don't really understand that Jesus was born to be a Savior. Now, what does that mean? That means you and I have a need that we could not meet ourselves. And that God had to intervene and do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He provided his son to leave the glories of heaven, be born into the human race, to take on himself the fullness of humanity without ceasing to be deity. And then as the God-man, he would be the Lamb of God, the representative, if you will, of the sacrificial animal, now in a person. Because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. Our good works, our giving out Christmas presents can never take away sins. Amen. Baptism can never wash away your sins. Amen. Because the penalty for sin is death. So the Son of God was born into the human. The reason this was a holy night, it was the night that God came down. Born into the human race. And he said, I came to give my life to pay the penalty, to be a ransom for sinners. Even the Apostle Paul, after he had come to recognize and believe Jesus was indeed the Messiah of Israel and the Son of God, the one who died to pay the penalty for his sin, he said these words. He says, this is a faithful word and worthy of acceptance by all. He says that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Yeah. Now, of course, we want to celebrate his birth. So in the city of David, it says, born a Savior who is Christ our Lord. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So we are celebrating a Savior that was born, but I'm afraid that there's more attention on looking for a cure, something to deal with this virus, rather than it is about the cure that God has given for our sin. Say that they cured the virus today. I'm not talking about vaccinations. I'm not talking about booster shot. I'm saying say they got a cure today, cancer even, cure for it today. Eventually, you will still die. And what will happen to you after you die? Where will you spend eternity? That's why he says this will cause great joy for all the people. The glorious news is that a cure has been provided that you don't have to work for. With the booster shot, you don't have to make an appointment for this one. You don't have to go see the doctor. You don't have to go to the drugstore and stand in line. We can get it all at the same time. You don't have to earn it. The Almighty God, this baby that the scripture says was that the angels proclaimed that you'll find him clothed, find him in cloths and wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. He says, this is the mighty God has intervened on your behalf and mine to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. He will cleanse us from a disease, not this coronavirus and cancer, but the disease of sin. Wash us and clean us in the blood of the Lamb. You say, KP, can you really believe that a woman, a virgin, had a baby? If he's God, why is that so impossible? And if you think that was something, try taking a sinner, washing him in red blood, and making him white as snow. And to give you a new heart and make you a new person from the inside. Too many people feeling real good today, Mr. Jack. They've been a blessing to other people. And don't get me wrong, I thank God for it. But you better read that scripture closely. God can use anybody to be a blessing to somebody else. Even people that don't even worship him, he'll use them. Don't look at that and let that be your evidence of where you stand with God. Because none of those things, that's being clean on the outside. But it don't mean anything if it ain't clean on the inside. You know, we talked about this. Jesus describes it this way. Don't be like a whitewashed tomb. Somebody go down there and pressure wash your grave and it look pretty around your grave site, but in the inside ain't nothing but dead bones. We get too concerned about fixing the outside. But in order for the inside to be made right, first, what we learned tonight, first he had to be born into the human race. It was a holy night. He didn't come to live. He came to die. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. That's why it was a holy night. Have you understood the importance? The commercialism of today, it just clouds everything. But have you understood the importance of the message of Jesus Christ? Because I'm afraid that we just get excited about the season. And then as soon as the 25th come on, we ready for the new year. And we forget all about this baby that we've been singing about. We forget all about that he bore our sins in his body. That was the reason this night was so important. I like the fact, and we don't have to back up, but I like the fact when it says, and the time came for her to give birth. Now, it was talking about the physical time. We know that a woman has a certain amount of time, and then she gives birth. But I believe it's a twofold purpose. Not only was it time for her to give birth, but I believe it was at the right time. Amen. That God would send his Savior. Everything was just right in the place that it needed to be. That God would send his Savior into the world. And so these angels come and tell these shepherds, you don't have to be afraid about this. This is good news. This news should cause great joy all around the world. And yet I'm afraid one of the saddest things in the world is that even though this cure for sin is there, multitudes of people refuse to accept it. It's a free gift, and most people refuse to accept it. You have more people arguing with, well, why didn't God do this, this, and this? Wait, I can't answer that, but I can tell you he has provided a way. Yeah. Elaine was telling me about her and our son Kay, and went to, they were giving gifts to this family that was in need by an anonymous giver of this church. Elaine and Kay was just presented on their behalf, and they were telling me, they came back and they were telling me how excited these people were to receive these free gifts. and that the kids couldn't stop hugging them. They were just so excited, saying thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over again for these free gifts. And yet you have people today rejecting the free gift of God. Think about that. Let's look at it from human terms for just a second. You know, we got some givers in here who like blessing people, right? Think about it for a second. You went and gave that free gift to one of them people, and they looked at you like, I don't want this. Or they frown up at what you were giving them freely. They didn't have to earn it from you, work for it, beg you for it, or anything. How ungrateful would that appear? And yet there are millions of people daily shunning the free gift of God. How? Let's answer the question, though. How? How do you receive it? God's gift, that is. How do you see it? How do you receive it? You first have to see yourself as God says you are. You are a sinner. And you are a sinner no matter how you view yourself. Every single person is born a sinner. The scripture says there is none righteous, not even one. Quit comparing yourself to somebody else. Quit comparing how much you gave compared to somebody else. There is none righteous, not even one. And the penalty for sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's an important issue you have to deal with in your life today. Have you ever received the free gift of God, eternal life in Jesus Christ? Did you come to understand that you are a sinner? And now you understand the importance of what happened 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. God intervened on behalf of the world. And yet I'm still standing here today. Sadly, many people will still not receive this gift. No charge. And I'm not here. I'm not trying to get anybody, recruit nobody to Gateway. We love to have you, but I'm not trying to recruit. Because it don't matter what church you attend. You better know him for yourself. Yes. Jesus Christ. And I want to go to the last two verses of this. Stop right there. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And look, suddenly, this holy night, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, go to the last verse for me, glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. And most people don't, we sing that joy to the world, and we sing that God has brought, you better understand, that's what Jesus Christ did. He brought peace between man and God. Because as a sinner, apart from Jesus Christ, there is enmity between you and God. I know you don't feel like it, but the scripture says you are God's enemy if you don't belong to him. I like the way my brother Dale says, look, it's either good or bad. You either saved or unsaved. Ain't no middle ground. But glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace. God, through his son Jesus, over 2,000 years ago in a little town called Bethlehem. Look at how he worked through the plans of man. Caesar Augustus was not trying purposely to do the will of God, but it was through when he ordered this decree that he needed a census. That drove Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem at the almost exact time she was due to give birth. That's not coincidental. It was because it was prophesied that this is where it was going to happen at. And it's through the events. God, see, nothing frustrates or takes away from the plan of God. I don't care what man does. God's will always be accomplished. And it was in that little town. The fullness of time came. Not just the fullness of time that came for her to give birth, but the fullness of time came that the Savior had to come. And he was born in a manger. It was a holy night because God came down. And he became fully man, not ceasing to be fully God. But something you heard Joy sing in the song today that we often forget. And I'm not trying to rain on nobody's parade because we buying gifts too. But you didn't see You're not going to find instructions in the Bible where Jesus tell us to start giving gifts to folk. And when you look at them wise men, they were bringing gifts to him. And we sing in a song earlier. See, sometimes we get to singing drill and we don't even pay attention to the word. But we were singing in a song earlier that we want to bring our gifts to him in worship. And our giving gifts to one another don't mean nothing if our offering to him isn't first. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about worship. That's what I'm talking about. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. Yeah. See, these things make us. Christmas is bittersweet for me because it's a time that makes us feel so good inside, and sometimes it clouds who we really are. We really are. Even the worst of people start giving folk gifts. And don't even realize, though, that's not going to change your heart. You better understand the reason he was born in that manger. In that town of Bethlehem. He came to be a savior. And that's why he said this will cause great joy. Because unto you not only is a son is given, but he is the Messiah, the Savior, and he will save his people from their sins. And so I'm encouraging you today. Don't let this be just another Christmas where we understand that, yeah, Jesus died. We got all stories, all, you know, the wise men and the donkey. We got all the talking animals, random and everything now. But we got to start putting emphasis where emphasis needs to go. And that is the reason. Tell people, don't just label it with a clever saying, he's the reason for the season. That has the truth to it. But explain to them. He came. But more importantly, he died. Because he came to save us from our sin. So I don't have a problem celebrating his birth. Because that is good news. It was good news over 2,000 years ago, and it's still good news to me today. Because if he had not came, I'm still stuck in my sin. But he came, and he died. And I have confessed my sins to him. I have admitted to him. Look, I didn't compare myself to anybody else. God, you say that I have fallen short of your glory. I do not meet your holy standards. And no matter what I do, I'll never achieve that. But that you, in your grace, as a free gift, you came as a man and died and paid the penalty of sin for me. And if I will repent and accept your son as my Lord and Savior, you would forgive me. Not only would you forgive me, God, but you would credit me with his righteousness, your righteousness, God, that when you look at me as if I've never done anything against you. Not because I haven't, because I am one of the chiefest of sinners. Yes. But not because I haven't, but I've been forgiven, yes, because of what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. And I'm afraid. I shared with Carl earlier. You know, people say, well, we heard the story over and over and over. Now, I was doing my personal study in Jude this weekend. One of the things Jude says to these people, I know I've told you this before, but I got to keep reminding you. And you have to keep being reminded over and over what God has done for us. Because if you don't, the world will start to replace that. And it'll start being insignificant to us. And we lose how important that it is what Christ has done. So it's not just some cute story to me. The nativity scene is not just some cute, oh, I just want to decorate my house. I understand the meaning behind it. God came. He came so that I could be saved from my sins. Yes. That I can have peace. Yes. And it says to those whom his favor rests. His favor rests on those who have given their lives to his son. Don't be fooled just because you got a nice house, nice cars, and things, your job is good and all those things. No, he reigns on the just and the unjust. Material things are not your proof that God is with you. You want to really know the proof that people hate to hear? Look at your life. Look at your life. Your life tells the story, because Jesus says it's out of the heart comes these things. Can't see it. I can see what you're doing. And that's what tells the story. But guess what? Again, no waiting in line. You ain't got to get no appointment. We can start right here today. Amen. You can have it right here. So what the celebration of Christmas is, there's a Savior, one has been provided. Now, his birth didn't provide the salvation. His birth just enabled him to be the substitute to take our place, right? To pay the penalty so that God could offer us the gift. As young people, and I was the same when I was growing up, you know, my parents, what's that one thing that you want? This should be the one thing that every man desires. When I say man, mankind, not just man, men and women. Everything, this is the one thing that every person should desire. So I hope today that you have been encouraged and that this story is just a reminder. Yeah. Now, the scripture that we quote so much should carry even more meaning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Father, we want to stop right here and thank you again for coming, for your son coming to this earth. Lord, what an awesome event that was. And here we are 2,000 years later, the world recognizes something unique happened. But again, sadly, so much of the world still don't understand what it really means. We acknowledge again, God, that the one born in Bethlehem, that baby wrapped in cloths, is the one who would be the Savior, or is the Savior of the world, the only Savior. God, thank you for your love that you had for us so that your son could give his life to pay for our penalty of sin. Thank you, Father, that his work is credited to us and that you give us forgiveness and that you cleanse us and give us a new life as a free gift when we just simply place our faith in him. Lord, I can't speak for everybody in here, but it is my honor and my privilege to celebrate his birth. Yes. And I just want to remind them again, God, that he came to be their Savior. And yet he lives today and he's coming again. And God, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a holy night. Yeah. It was a holy night. And I'm going to encourage you right now. The beautiful thing about that story, it's a true story. And it's not beholden to your financial situation today. You know how we can't, our kids got these desires, but we ain't got the money to get it? They asking for that stuff. Don't matter if you ain't got enough money, because he don't want your money. He wants your heart. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter your history, how you were raised up. You don't know my story. I don't need to know any of that. He don't want any of that. He's not asking you to change anything in the sense of you doing it yourself. He just wants you to say, I can't do it, Lord. Help me. So I encourage you today, as Joy prepares to play softly here for us, I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet for me. Word of God resonated with you in any way. Again, this ain't about show now. This is for real. If you wasn't here, we talked about the reality of hell and heaven, regardless of what people think. We talked about the reality of heaven and hell. And you're going to spend eternity in one place or the other. And it's not going to be a balancing scale there. My good outweigh my bad. That's not what it's going to be. You're either in Christ or you're not. There's one name under heaven that has been given. There's only one way under heaven by which any man can be saved. Now, you can argue about it if you want. Or you can thank him for the free gift of eternal life. You can come to my left, your right, and you kneel. Nobody bothers you. And don't get caught up on people looking at you, because this is between you and God. They got to stand before him themselves. God, I would have came, but I was scared what Elaine was going to say when I walked down there. Don't fear man. Fear the one who is able to judge you in your soul. You can worry about what people think about you if you want. Remember Lazarus and the rich man? We talked about that. You can come to my right, your left. You can kneel over here if you want someone as an encourager to pray for you, but won't you come? Don't let this moment get past you. Well, you have an opportunity by the grace of God. He's being patient because it's not his desire that any perish. It's bad when we want, you know, God, if you give me this, I'll make sure everybody does. God is saying what I've done is enough to save every single person in the world. And yet the broad way, the way of the world will be full of folk because they refuse to accept my one way. Won't you come?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill.
Sometimes it's good to go back and look at the story again. I've been blessed and encouraged by the word of God. I want to leave you with this. I think this is a good summation of it all. It says this: you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Get this now, because this is a very thought-provoking. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, and since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more should we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, should we now be saved through his life? God has brought peace between him and man through faith in the finished works of Jesus Christ. Never forget what happened on that holy night when God came down. I pray that not only have you settled the matter in your own hearts, but that you will do. Go keep reading the story in Luke. Them shepherds had to go tell somebody. After the angels, the heavenly host came and were praising God, when they left, them shepherds had to go tell somebody. And it's a good thing to give good gifts. It's better to give than receive. I'm not against that. I'm giving gifts. But give them the most important thing. There's nothing more important than the message of Jesus Christ. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Again, I pray that your hearts have been lifted and that this was a great reminder for us of the reason why we do it. Now, we're not going to put so much emphasis on the day that we forget about the reason and understand the importance behind it all. At least that's my prayer. But let me pray for us. And, oh, one last thing. I am going to ask Mama Vic if you could come in. This is my personal request. Brother Henry, that plays the piano for us, I've recently found out that he had an accident that causes him not the way he can't work. Matter of fact, and it has to do with his hand, and he still came to play for us. And if you notice, he's been consistent with us, and we have benefited from that. He has been a blessing to us. And now I'm going to ask you to be a blessing to him. This is not just trying to single him out like somebody else don't have any issues or anything like that. The man has been committed to coming here and being a blessing, allowing God. He's not here now because he's going to play for other churches to be a blessing to them. And now he needs you. Not because he came and asked us for it. This is my request. And I don't want to sound arrogant with it. If you don't give a dime, I will. It's not about that. I'm just letting you know he's a father of six children, and he does it all by himself. A father of six children. He is not working at the moment. They told him once he gets better, then he could come back to work. I'm asking specifically for the children that they do receive something this year. And I'll get with the appropriate in terms of what else he got going on. But I'm going to ask on your way out, if it's in your heart, you're not obligated to do it. Nobody's putting an amount on anything. But I'm going to have someone, Mama Vicky will be back at the back there, every single dime, even if you put loose change down, every single dime will go to him. So I'm asking you to at least be prayerful. And remember again, he comes and he serves. Amen. Now, he ain't on the membership list, but what does that matter? We benefit from it. Amen. So if it's in your hearts, I want you to really consider blessing him and his family during this time. But with that being said, hang tight. Let me pray for us, and then I'm going to allow you guys to be dismissed, and we can go. And so I won't see you till after what we call the Christmas holiday. I hope you guys enjoy one another, enjoy your families. I hope you have a safe time doing so. Just please, 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 please share this message with as many people as you come into contact with. You had a question? I saw you do that. Wednesday night Bible study. I'll be here. I'll be here, even if I'm here by myself. I'll be here. Wednesday night Bible study is still on. I understand if some people are traveling. God bless you guys. I pray for your safety in your travels. But let me pray for us, and I'll let you guys go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Father, thank you again for our time together. Thank you so much, God, for your reminder. God, I don't know why you would have to continuously remind us of what you've done, but you do. And I thank you, God, that you're being so patient with us. You could have easily said enough is enough, but you're so, even in the midst of that, not only have you not said enough is enough, you're continuously blessing us in spite of us. And I just thank you right now for that you're not like man, that your goodness and your faithfulness and your mercy just endures forever, God. So we thank you now. God, I pray that this message will reach into the hearts of man, God, and that it will accomplish everything that you have will for it to accomplish, God. I pray, as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come and bring conviction to this world, God, that you will convict the heart that does not know you, God. I pray that you will bring strong conviction that heart will say, I yield. And they will understand what it is that you have done for us. Thank you for our time together as we leave, God, and over this what we call holiday break, God. I pray now that your favor and your blessings on your people. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Y'all have a wonderful holiday.